Hello and welcome to the October 26th LP, PODCAST. My name is Doobie. Joining me today on the LaughingPlace.com podcast roundtable.
I thought it was the Laughing Place podcast. That's right. How we decided to brand it.
Remember in the 90s where everything was .com after
right.
It even?
Like, remember when there was a Radio Shack right by where you lived? And it was a brick and mortar store, but it said RadioShack.com.
Yes.
Like, it was an internet hub or something.
So we're on the Laughing Place e-podcast here. And joining me today are Rebecca.
Hello.
Fanboy.
Hi.
And just arriving from a very, very smoky Southern California, the Captain Bear.
Smoky
is right. He's going to tell us about that, just back from California. And
speaking of smoky, remember, John, only you can prevent forest fires.
Not that we want to make light of a very sad situation going out there in California, so our thoughts definitely are out with all of our listeners out there, all of our family that we still have out there, and everyone else in the Southern California area, hopefully.
Including the 10,000 Disneyland Resort cast members.
Most definitely, the 10,000 Disneyland Resort cast members. So hopefully everything gets under control there pretty soon without things getting too much worse.
And once I find out how Disney will be helping the effort, I'll post it on my blog. So
blog.fanboy.
Part of the Go Network.
Podcast at laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408, or post a message on the fantabulously busy laughingplace.com discussion boards. And without further ado, we're going to turn... We're going to turn to the captain, back from California, literally back yesterday from California as
yes,
we record
indeed.
This. He left, he jetted out right after the podcast last week, arrived just in time to be helicoptered over here to the LP headquarters for today's podcast, and he's going to tell us... Mm-hmm. What's it like in California?
Everything's so small in California. It's so weird. You get used to the Magic Kingdom and all Walt Disney World. It's all huge. And then it's like, here's little Disneyland. It's all quaint and everything.
Quaint. It's like the...
Everything came, flooding. All the memories came flooding back.
How's the glorified archway? I mean, the castle doing?
One of the highlights of the trip was that... our first step into Disneyland, first we see the Halloween, Main Street, everything. And then we turn the corner through, under the train. What is there? There's a name for the tunnel.
The tunnel? Yeah.
Okay. So then all of a sudden we see...
the
big Halloween Mickey head. And where did the castle go? Because the castle is so small that they could put up a big pumpkin and you can't see it.
Was it after midnight? Because it's possible the castle became a big pumpkin. Just a thought.
I was, I used to, before they did Halloween time, I used to go with Linus and wait at Town Square for the great pumpkin to arrive, and I'm glad it finally did.
Yeah, I used to go with Windows.
Really?
Anyway.
So the pumpkin, is that at Town Square?
Yeah.
And it ends up, that's weird.
It's
interestingly enough, Elmer Fudd. It's at Christmas Tree Point.
Is it really?
Which now is named Christmas Tree / Great Pumpkin.
They were actually filming something at the time. I don't know if it was from a...
They're hopefully not their
channel.
Christmas commercial.
Yeah, the Christmas party.
No, it was probably for some local news. But hey, if we were on TV, you probably could see my back on television.
Okay, so when was the last time you were in California?
Tower of Terror was almost about to open.
So 2003, right?
Yeah.
2003 or 2004.
Okay. Subs.
Awesome. Because, it used to be one of my favorite attractions. But there's one thing that I find kind of peculiar is that, once you get into, the dark part where there's, where the stuff actually starts to happen and you see Nemo and everything, it sort of loses the underwater feel a bit. So it almost seems a bit redundant. I mean, before, you're outside and then, it's all, you're clearly in the water. Then later on, it just, they don't seem to utilize the fact that there's water around them as much until later. It's all, dry, but
It's wet, though, in there, isn't it?
It's wet where?
Inside the show building. That's a flooded show building, right?
Well, between you and the screen part.
Right.
But you can't see that, it's just clear. So it just looks like, might as well.
Because you can see the surface if you look up.
Right.
So.
Shh. Second biggest Disney secret.
There's
some bubbles, but it seems like it's just kind of odd.
So you lose the fact that you're underwater, you're saying, with the way it goes. Oh, that's interesting.
It's generally, clearly a much more immersive experience than, like, you know, Nemo and Friends.
Time,
but I mean,
what time of day did you ride it?
It was, I guess around like 2, 3, I guess.
I wonder if it works better at night because you're not expecting to see Obi darker. I don't know.
I'm a quantitative kind of guy, so.
And the anglerfish is a little bit more boring.
1 to 10.
It's not a broken cuckoo robot. Yeah.
1 to 10.
1 to 10? 8.
Right. How long did you have to wait?
Zero.
Yeah?
It pays to know
people.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
No, because I only ask because I think that wait time can affect your enjoyment or lack thereof in an attraction. Right. So.
Did you felt you waited too long? All right, Pirates of the Caribbean. Did you by chance have a chance to experience that?
You know, I only did it, you know, around 4 times. I always thought it was awesome there. Like, it's long, but, I mean, that's why you don't like it. But, I mean, it's long. There's so much more detail and everything. Though, I think Florida gets points with the Davy Jones thing, though, because it's kind of odd. Like, it's placed kind of odd, and it's clearly like a projection type thing. But besides that, it's great.
Okay.
And you get to go up the waterfall. And
Before you get off. I'm like, what's that other thing? Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. That is...
What is that thing in Tomorrowland? Kind of tall.
And white. I remember when it was copper and weird looking.
And then I remember when it was white.
That is one awesome attraction. Because, like, before I didn't ride it very much because I was scared of roller coasters. But I did it before they, you know, changed everything. And I was like, you know, it was cool. But then Florida, it's kind of meh. You're sort of in a weird, dark building and the queue is outside. And it's kind of odd.
They really should update that.
Yeah. But with the new soundtrack and everything, it's just really neat. I mean, there's a new energy. And it's the smoothest coaster I think I've ever ridden ever.
Wow.
It's just, like, really smooth. It feels like you might as well be
weird.
Gliding on air. Because I remember before, Space Mountain was a rough ride,
yeah,
you know?
It was.
You'd have the little short drops and everything.
Totally.
It was like, eh. But no, now it's like you barely notice they're there anymore.
Smoother
it's...
than the Matterhorn, even?
Oh, I did that, too.
Nothing can be smoother than the Matterhorn.
How many times have they rebuilt it?
I've got a question. What's gotten into it?
What's gotten into it?
Monsters, Inc. What do they call it out there?
Mike and Sully to the Rescue.
Yeah, that one.
Mike and Sully to the Rescue. You know, it's nice. I mean, I sort of like Superstar Limo just for the cheese factor, but I think it's cool.
Is it funny?
Is it funny?
I've been on it, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters?
That, I think Florida gets the advantage, oddly enough. I mean, I see some people think that California... Say that California... But, I mean, it feels like really... cramped. I mean, everything feels cramped, but I mean, it feels particularly strange.
That's just so funny.
See, I respectfully disagree. I like California.
Respectfully disagree? Usually you're just really rude about it.
I know. That's why it's a difference.
Buzz Lightyear does get to have that cool laser gun thing at the end, though. The little weird spinny light thing.
See, I just like being able to lift it up.
Oh, see, I think that makes it a lot harder. It's not quite as fun.
See, I'm not reliant on, like, spinning. You don't
not
have
to mention nobody bothers and they all leave them out of the car.
Is your big problem the fact that you ride with another person and they don't spin where you want them to?
Yes.
Does it really come down to that, fanboy?
Absolutely. Have you been D-Land Doug? Have you been on that ride?
Okay. I was in my own vehicle.
Block Party Bash.
Block Party Bash. I didn't even see it.
Parade of Dreams.
I didn't see it.
Party Bash. You...
I didn't see either of the parades.
Why see it there? Just wait a couple months.
Remember, there's magic in the dreams of holiday magic.
Wow, that
was spectacular.
Like, we waited for the good spot. We were right across from the Carnation Plaza, so we were in front of the castle and everything. And, you know, we had to, you know, beat up a couple of people to get there. But,
right.
You know, that is a really cool, it's really neat what they do, like, with the castle and the Matterhorn shoots fireworks and stuff. It's really neat.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It reminds me very much of, like, the Pirate Princess Party fireworks, how they, you know, use the castle and other things.
Which one do you like better, Pirate Princess fireworks or Remember?
Well, Remember is, you know, longer. And, you know.
More nostalgic.
Is there any fireworks show you've seen that's as good as Remember, in your opinion?
I think Remember is probably the best one.
Yeah.
And Tinkerbell's cool because she could, you know, go back and forth up and down.
And they create that moment, like, when Color with the castle and the fireworks, and there's Tinkerbell right in the perfect spot. It looks just like the TV show.
I still remember the first day I saw that show where she's flying, she dips down, everyone goes, wait, you're not supposed to do that? And then she comes back up.
I think that's, I mean, it's a fireworks show and not an attraction. And that's why. But I think that is just such an underrated aspect of Disneyland. That's such an amazing show.
See, have you been there lately? I don't think it's so underrated anymore.
Obviously, people see it and love it, but there doesn't seem to be the buzz about it. There's still more buzz about Indy than there is about Remember.
Well, I've never
at least the buzz I experienced. But the internet.
Let me throw in another idea. Merchandise. How much merchandise do they have for it? Do they have any for it? If I went there and wanted to buy a Remember t-shirt, can I? I mean, I know I can buy like a Space Mountain t-shirt and a Splash Mountain t-shirt.
Right, that's a good point.
And I know that when Believe hit its height of, you know, popularity, they had that beautiful sweatshirt with the Believe fireworks and whatever. And I think they have a Believe in Holiday Magic one, too.
I remember I know they had that. Yeah, I can't remember if there's Remember.
I think this is like the first time I've ever seen so many benches in front of... Like, what... They literally took benches and set them up like a theater... Type that just rows upon rows of benches.
Wait, hold on.
I've never seen this before.
You're saying there's benches near the hub at Disneyland? Strange.
There's a story there. Someday you'll hear it.
Okay.
It's just very odd. It's like, wow,
they still do the
people.
Traffic circle thing around the hub.
Yeah.
Where it's like being at the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. Everyone just sort of like walks around and tries to get out, but they have to go around again.
Uh-huh. It was very, very peculiar.
There was one other thing that's new that I wanted to ask him. Oh, Haunted Mansion Holiday, right?
Haunted Mansion Holiday. I think that's generally the same as when I left it, but I forgot how elaborate it was. Mm-hmm. That's like one thorough Christmas Halloweenish thing. They really deck it out. Although, like, it's kind of funny that Madame Lee, she can float in California, right?
Yeah.
For the holiday, she can't, I guess, because there's like they put some stuff in the way. So it's like, I was expecting her to see her floating. It's like, oh wait. So it's like I felt like we were reversing.
You know, I haven't been back since they've done the changes to the regular Haunted Mansion to see how they've affected Haunted Mansion Holiday, if at all.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's pretty... I mean, it looks... I mean, I don't know what it was.
Do they still have the snake with the...
Yeah.
The
bride,
the
bride is not there.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, the bride is not there. It seems pretty much the same, except that Madame Leota... Yeah, Madame Leota can't
That
float.
Seemed like it would be the most complicated because they put so much more in the attic before they had all those little teddy bears
everywhere. I thought that, like, a lot of Haunted Mansion Holiday improved, like, the effects of the Haunted Mansion in general, though, like, when they did it. Mm-hmm. So, whereas here, they don't have it, so they just sort of did it from the ground
up.
Did
you have any particularly good food?
Particularly good food. We went to Bengal Barbecue.
Oh, Bengal Barbecue.
Bengal Barbecue.
Anything else
you should... crowded?
Was it very crowded, like, in general, or are you talking about Bengal Barbecue?
Bengal Barbecue. I heard a three-hour line there.
In general, yes.
It was quite crowded.
We prefer the term popular.
It was quite popular. Like, I mean, we would arrive in the morning and, you know, it would be okay. But then, like, once it reached, like, the afternoon, then all of a sudden it would just go boom. It was, like, a lot of people.
Wow. Was Phantasmic running?
Phantasmic was running.
Well, yeah. Phantasmic was running.
Yeah. I'm going to be there November, 16th and 17th. Is Phantasmic running? Does anybody know?
You can check laughingplace.com for that information.
And if anything, that should be a warning to the listeners.
I know, exactly. Don't plan on seeing Phantasmic November 16th or 17th.
But if you see Fanboy, you can cheer for him.
Yay.
He knows the choreography. He'll do it.
Disneyland definitely gets the advantage of Phantasmic.
And you hadn't seen the pirate show, right? Or the little
I haven't seen the pirate lair at all.
Oh, yeah, Pirate's Lair. I forgot all about that.
Pirate's Lair we did, like, right before we left. And that's really cool. Because, I mean, it's just... It's kind of like, I mean, I wasn't able to see a lot of it, but I think it's really neat. And how you could sort of, like, we saw Jack Sparrow, we hung around Jack Sparrow for a while. And it's kind of, whereas here, like, it's interesting the mentality is that in California, it seems like they don't mind just letting you sort of stumble across characters. Whereas in Florida, it's more like because everybody sort of expected to see them, that it's more of like their own attraction. So I find it kind of interesting how that works. Like on Pirate's Lair, you just sort of find him. It's not like there's some sort of big, you know, go around here for Jack Sparrow. No, you just sort of find him. And it's kind of interesting how, like, the difference there. And the treasure cave was really scary when you reach in and the pirates jump out at you. That was scary.
Cool. Yeah. I look forward to seeing that.
Anything else you want to you'd be remiss to leave out?
That's the second time I've heard that word today.
Remiss?
I like that word. It's a good word.
It's an excellent word.
Yeah.
It's not a real word. It's made up, but it's a good word.
No, it's
like
real.
Like whomever.
Oh, dude.
If there's any Office fans out there.
Doobie laughed so hard. We'll show it to you later, fanboy. Doobie laughed so very hard at that portion of the Office.
Mr. Toad, because it actually exists in California.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite as hot as I remember it.
Well, there are fires going on and everything, so you may not have noticed the difference.
I'm surprised they even did fireworks.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, the wind was high enough where it almost didn't happen.
Right.
Did the fires affect the atmosphere in the park much?
Yes. And the wind, because we had to walk from our hotel into, the bus area, and they have all those, little Mickey Mouse pumpkin heads hanging around, and they were, pretty much, okay, you're going to fly off any moment now. The next day, we were there, and they weren't there anymore. I'm assuming they took them down. At least I hope so, unless they just all blew off. But
I was watching Jimmy Kimmel on ABC. And Mira Sorvino was talking about how she went to Disneyland to escape her fact that she couldn't go home. So maybe it was busy because a lot of people were trying to avoid the fires.
Wow. That makes sense.
Because I know Walt Disney World, every time there's a hurricane in Miami, millions of people at Walt Disney World.
Know that when we used to – there was a time or two where we lost power or they had the brownouts or whatever. We'd go to Disneyland. Right. Nothing to do at home except sit in the heat.
Although, the last podcast, I think it was the last one, we went to Disneyland because of the winds and pirates got crazy because the power outages.
Oh, yeah?
There was no power outages this time.
Okay.
But,
well, that's good.
I just remember doing that before, but that,
That can make for a mess.
Golden Screams is disturbing, just for the record.
It looks disturbing.
It was very strange.
What are we talking about?
Golden Screams.
Golden Dreams has transformed into Golden Screams for Halloween.
Yeah. And here's the rundown, okay?
Since last year.
They show you a little compilation of, villains and stuff, and they have, this host guy come out. It's like an award show for villains. And what they do is that they show you, six different villains' death scene, pretty much, because you're voting on their scream by screaming yourself. So it's like they show Gaston falling into the abyss, and it's like, scream if you like Gaston. And so then the audience screams or whatever. And scream if you like Sean Yu. And then, of course, you hear crickets chirping because nobody knows who he is. And eventually...
Do you hear Cricky?
No, but eventually he actually Sean Yu arrives in the theater, and he's sort of
It's very cool.
And here's the plot twist. Of course, the winner is actually
Spoiler alert.
The winner is actually a member of the audience. It's a dream type situation,
Is this Suzanne Plachette?
You get a Patrick Turnabog statue though. It's pretty cool.
Cool. I saw a picture
of
that.
But yeah, definitely go. It's very cheese lame tastic.
You know, though, when I heard the description of it, I thought, that's California.
So how many of the villains that you were screaming for fell to their death? Because there's Gaston, there's Shen Yu, there's...
Frollo was there. He falls to his death.
Yeah, the old hag, the old evil queen.
Yeah, she fell to her death. But I'm trying to... They picked,
Scar, was he there?
No. They had Clayton.
Not Animal Kingdom.
He fell, but sort of...
he fell.
Right, yeah.
And strangled.
Let's see, Ursula was there. She got rammed by a ship.
Yeah. The second most common way for a villain to die.
Maleficent, she got rammed by a sword.
Who am I missing?
Was Cruella there?
We had Sean Yu, Gaston, Ursula, Frollo.
Was it a chick?
Hades was there. But that was the weird thing. He didn't have it. They didn't show the death scene for him.
Does he have
Everybody
a death
else
scene?
Had a death scene.
How can he have a death scene?
Sort of.
Yeah, where's he go? The underworld?
Welcome back.
Like all the underworld spirits drag him under.
Oh,
and stuff.
Yeah.
But they just showed him, and it's like, well, that's weird. Everybody else was dying, and then all of a sudden Hades is just there.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
And happy that he has the old queen, evil queen, and Gaston coming to the underworld now. Yeah, some
got some company.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Anyway,
thanks, CJ.
So yes, it was quite exciting, and I hope to get my photos and videos into a little montage-y, and then I can put it on YouTube.
We'll tell you where to find it.
Yes.
Thanks so much for the
Disneyland roundup.
For the morning report.
Long and the short.
Morning.
Every bump.
I'm skipping a couple of things. So, and so. There's a post, there's a thread on the discussion boards, rather, we favor Disneyland or Walt Disney World. And here we are with an almost all Disneyland day because our next topic is more Disney's California Adventure.
Yay, woo-hoo. Disney California Adventure.
Big announcement. $1.1 billion, that number, every time I think about it, it just boggles my mind. That is really? Such a huge thing for an existing theme park. But we talked about it extensively last week, and we got a little bit of email we're going to read regarding that, so I'm going to turn it over to the lovely, talented... Rebecca, so she can...
My bad.
Thanks, bad boy.
Yeah, say that in French.
Snag the paper from me. Let's see. Is this a post?
This was a post, yeah.
This is a post from Sir XS Tech.
Who doesn't like Alien Encounter, if I recall correctly.
Oh, I think you're right.
But yeah. He does like to seize the future.
He was privy to some details of the cast member presentation, and he says, I am amazed at how slim the official media stuff is compared to what the cast shown. Models and dozens of pieces of art. Almost all far more exciting than the 5 pieces of art that every website seems to have. Well, those are the ones that we were sent officially, just so you know. One special thing you guys asked about is the fate of Mulholland Madness. In the CM presentation, they said this would be called Goofy's Flight School. And the cars would all be themed to look like little planes. It still looked like a pretty straightforward wild mouse coaster, but then again, who knows? There was only one piece of art. I don't know what I think about them randomly dropping Disney characters around the park. The Midway games are going to be themed to Disney characters as well. But I do have to say that the 30s Mickey head in front of the golden rays of the sun wheel really looks awesome. I was excited to hear you mention that Cars Land will have something akin to Sci-Fi Dine-In, as that was a favorite at MGM, as well as something that seemed natural for 2001 DCA. It's long overdue. But where did you hear it? I've been scouring the various articles and haven't seen that mentioned anywhere. Well, my memory is that was sent out in a... They have this community affairs email that they send out to local media and various stuff like that. And that's where I believe that I saw that information. And I took from it that it was a Sci-Fi Dine-In. The email itself description did not say that. It described it as a Cars-themed diner where you would eat in a car with roller skating with roller skating waitresses and would feature animated shorts, car-themed shorts. I'm the one who drew the comparison to Sci-Fi Dine-In, so I want to make sure that you guys get
didn't
that.
Didn't it also mention that every 40 minutes they'd show a scene where all the servers would go,
No, it didn't.
And it shares a bathroom with the commissar.
But based on the way the description was written up in that email, that's where. But I'll double-check that, sir, and I'll post it on the discussion boards once I find out exactly where it came from. But I'm pretty sure that's where it was.
You know, one thing that I'm excited about from the cast presentation, which I also was privy to, was that we heard that the Cars Land was going to have 2 family attractions based off of Luigi and Mater. Yeah. And the Luigi one is basically the Flying Saucers.
That's so awesome.
And... I agree. That is so awesome. Because when I heard that, I'm thinking, oh, like Morphlix Fun Fair. But, I hope they know how to fix it this time.
I was going to say, didn't that close because it had, like, operational issues?
Oh, yes. But
that was, what, 40 years ago? Come on.
Okay.
That's enough time to get even Test Track running.
Oh, we need to send an email off to Bob Gurr and ask him, hey.
I hope they've also fixed the restriction that you have to weigh between like 150 and 151 to ride it.
Oh, dude, nobody will be able to ride it. that's a funny thought.
The one thing I thought was odd is that the entranceway, the turnstiles will be themed to the Pan Pacific Auditorium, ripped directly from the Disney MGM Studios. And it doesn't really fit because the Pan Pacific was built in the 30s. This is supposed to be the 20s. Just even the artwork, the juxtaposition seems very odd. So I'm hoping that they might rethink that because I think a nice little sort of mission style Grand Central Station look would be really cool.
I know that particular thing I read, Greg Miletic talked about that in his blog at laughingplace.com/blog/Miletic. And he was also kind enough to send in a voicemail that we're going to listen to right now regarding his thoughts on Disney's California Adventure $1.1 million expansion.
Hey, Doobie, Rebecca, Fanboy, and Captain John. This is Greg Miletic. I know it probably sounds like I have a cold, and in fact I do. I'm getting over it now. Hope it doesn't sound too scratchy or annoying, but Doobie asked me to comment on the recent California Adventure announcement, and so I'll keep my comments brief. I think that, like most Disney fans, I'm pretty excited about what they announced, and I'll give Disney credit in one area. I think they diagnosed the problem correctly. The problem wasn't so much that the park didn't have enough to do, didn't have enough rides, etc. Sure, every park could use more rides and things to see, but that wasn't the issue. The issue was that people didn't feel an emotional attachment to the park. And with what they're planning on doing, I think they stand to fix that problem pretty effectively. With a park that's in California and about California, the place has to be pretty spectacular to develop any kind of attachment to it. And DCA, even though I'm a fan, I mean, I don't love the place, but I enjoy it. It wasn't really elaborate enough to develop that kind of connection. And by changing the era in which the park is supposedly set, I think they have a good chance at making it resonate a little more with guests. I'll also give them credit in that they didn't just focus on adding rides to the park, although the rides they're adding sound pretty fun, but they have added things to do and experience and to feel. The trolley car line, and I'm especially excited about the Carthay Circle Theater that they're adding, where they're going to be showing the Walt Disney Story. I think that's great, and I hope they use it for more than just the Walt Disney Story. I mean, the Carthay Circle Theater is where Snow White premiered. Why not have a premiere of Snow White every night at the park, or some other Disney film, premiere Fantasia, and have replicas of the programs they handed out at their original showing. That's something they can exploit quite a bit and really get Disney fans, I think, whipped into a frenzy about the place, which is the one thing they really didn't have before. So, anyway, that's all I'm going to say. I think it's a good thing, and I'm really excited to see how it plays out. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. It's interesting you bring up the premiere concept, especially with Snow White, because they did mention, not necessarily in the Carthay Circle show building, but in the Hollywood Pictures backlot, presumably the Hyperion and Animation building, doing premieres and animation screenings. And the first one is November 17th with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs for its 70th anniversary. So I think they are going to see more stuff like that, as well as things like food festivals, and which they've already started, but they are trying to make that a local park.
Rebecca, would you agree that the big problem with DCA was that it didn't have an emotional attachment, or does having a bunch of great rides create an emotional attachment?
Well, when you think about Disneyland and its history, it was built in 1955, and Snow White and Peter Pan, these films had been out for a few years already, so there was already an affinity for the characters and whatnot, and so, you know, when people would go to the park, it was, in essence, a celebration of that, of Disney. Whereas the way that Disney's California Adventure was created and marketed, I don't think it had that same kind of nostalgia that it played into. It was a celebration of California. It was a dynamic. It was a more realism-based experience. And, in fact, when it first developed, they really tried to, you know, almost distance themselves from characters initially. The ads featured the gang kind of looking through binoculars at this creation happening that they weren't a part of, you know, over the hedges, over, you know, across the way. So yeah, I mean, I guess in some ways that was DCA's failing. It didn't connect. Yeah, totally.
I
hadn't thought about it.
I think DCA 2001 was built for Walt Disney World guests, and DCA 2011 is built for Disneyland guests, in that the park originally was very highbrow, and it had good attractions, and it was definitely a launching point. And in a similar way, Disney MGM Studios was, I think, when it opened, and very successful in Florida. But I think they underestimated the difference between the climate at Disneyland and Disney World, and that they really needed to make Disneyland a park for annual pass holders in many ways. Not solely for them, because that would be silly, because they don't pay anything to get in each day, but a park that they can get behind, because so much of your marketing message is not coming from Buzz Lightyear looking over the hedge, but it's coming from annual pass holders that are spreading the word amongst the community. And I think Disney underestimated that originally.
You were lucky enough to be in the Disneyland Resort, Captain John,
right
after this announcement. Could you get a sense, was there any kind of buzz or anything going on around there?
Get it, buzz.
Any kind of Woody or anything going on around there? Jesse?
Prospector Pete? Anyway.
Sort of. I mean, the annual pass holders, you know, you tend to overhear, you know, certain people. Somebody always knows what's going on. And people seem to be aware of, you know, they were sort of going over there to refresh their memory on what's going on. But, I mean, I didn't really feel like there was some sort of like energy or anything. I mean, really? I'm not exactly sure what you're aiming for.
No one cartwheeling down Main Street or a bunch of signs, DCA 2012 is coming or anything like that?
No, but there was a lot of curiosity, though.
Okay. Cool. Well, Captain, I think it's your turn.
My turn. Like,
Captain's Challenge.
Captain's Challenge.
Welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. Welcome to the team. Vacation's over. Let's go.
Hey, it doesn't say my turn. I mean,
now it's your turn to dream.
Oh, my turn to dream, huh? Okay,
is your power of imagination strong enough and bright enough to stand the evil forces that invade Mickey's dream?
You don't know the words at all.
No, because
I guarantee you Doobie does.
I did.
Go.
Welcome to Fantasmic.
Okay, anyway.
Here, tonight, our friend and host, Mickey, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Last...
Nothing.
All right, are we done?
Go ahead, Captain.
All right.
Look out! Sorry.
Last episode, out of all this DCA, you know, new information and, you know, on the subject of how they're having a test track type attraction, I asked, in the pre-show, you see, you know, the manager of the test, you know, there's this guy, and he introduces himself. What's his name? His name is Bill McKim. So let's see who got this right. All right, now, Pirate Princess first said Bill McHale, and a lot of people do say Bill McHale.
So she's wrong, though.
She is wrong, but, you know, it's close. I can understand Bill McHale, but it's Bill McKim.
Okay.
Going by the closed captioning, that's what you go by, you know, because, you know, if you have a list person, you know, people, you know, you say, I'm, I mean, you never know. You can't ask a trivia question and not have a little bit of, you know.
So who got it right?
So, D.L. Theo was going to say Bill McKim, so he was the first.
Yay! Did Walter play?
But he said he was going to say Bill McKim. So is he actually answering? Or?
Did he not actually say it?
He said I was going to say Bill McKim.
Ooh, we may have to leave that up to the judges, Captain.
I think that counts.
Okay. Any Naff Walter on there?
Naff Walter, no. But Magnet has seemed to have gone nuts.
Because.
The very thought of Bill brings to mind a great German word, Backpfeifergenschwuch. Yes, I'm imagining it now. Slap, slap, slap. I have no idea what he's...
You are correct. Magnet has gone nuts.
I have no idea what he's on about.
Do you have any idea,
Fanboy? I think that's a Monty Python reference.
That sounds like it has to be a quote of something.
Magnet, like, you were my favorite listener until about 30 seconds ago.
You haven't even seen it. You can't speak to it.
I've seen enough of it.
There's nothing wrong with...
Actually, you know what? Monty Python's okay, though.
Okay, let me see the word.
Bring out your dead. That's Monty Python, right?
Yeah.
All right, I take it back, Maddie. You're cool.
It's not Fawlty Towers. It's something.
Yeah, I figured it was a quote from something like that.
Appfap?
Even then, he's still gone nuts anyway, no matter what movie or...
The guy is crazy.
He's gone crazy.
Okay.
And, all right, now being that I was at Disneyland, I was looking around to see if maybe I could ask some sort of Disneyland-related question, you know. And so I looked up towards the Main Street train station, and it says, Disneyland, population what?
Ooh, it changes constantly.
I know, don't I?
Do you?
I think so.
That's not for us, though, right?
It's not for you, but, you know. But that's what
this does it have to be what it says now, or can it be what it said at some point in the past?
It could be what it has to be what it says.
Right. Okay, that's harder because it changes. Like, what they get 100 million people like every other day, don't they? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Apparently, it's something because it's a German compound word for a face that should be slapped. My German friend Uwe tells me that he sees a Backpfiffengeist. Okay, Magnet, I love you. Deep down, but what? A face that must be slapped? You have a strange relationship with that guy in the test track pre-show video.
Sounds like what happens to me when I'm...
Magnet, please enlighten us.
I don't think I deserve
Draw
that.
Us to the answer.
Or...
Don't polarize the listeners.
Okay.
North. That's all I got.
Don't be frigid... Because you put magnets on a refrigerator.
No,
okay, moving on.
No.
What?
Oh, no.
What is going on here today?
No. Captain, did you want to say anything else about the challenge?
Did I want to say anything else about the challenge? Okay, I'm thinking about changing up the rules a little bit, okay?
All right, pay attention, Princess, Theo, Naff Walter.
you know, every week it's like, okay, yay, you're the winner. What is, you know, that's all exciting. But I thought, you know, I'd change it up a little bit. And rather than, you know, just aiming to be the winner every week, you'd be the winner of multiple episodes. So what will happen now is that each week it'll be the same as normal, except that when you win, you get a point. And whoever has 5 points, you know, by, I guess that would be around 5 episodes, once 5 episodes have passed, or whoever has 5 points by whenever anybody gets that, you will be, you know, the grand champion.
The grand champion of that segment of LP Podcast.
Exactly.
Which entitles you to?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
It's a little bit more, you know, it's not, you know, you have more chances if you sort of sneak in while, you know.
Cool. Well, who will be our first grand champion? Who is going to vault out to the lead by knowing the population of Disneyland? The challenge is out there. Pirate Princess, DL Theo, Naff Walter.
And random person listening to us right now, anybody.
Anybody can win except for Fanboy, Rebecca, Captain John, and Doobie. We can't win.
And other affiliated companies of the LaughingPlace.com organization and residents of Vermont.
And
and if you're a Canadian, you have to answer a math test first.
Yes, you do.
Okie dokie, it's my favorite time of the show.
Your favorite time of the show, huh?
It's my favorite time of the show. I should have a song for that. It's my favorite time of the show. Rebecca, introduce it.
And now it's time for popcorn or churros.
Also known as my favorite time of the show.
Wait, it's your favorite time of the show, even though it's like new, it's like brand new, and it's your favorite part of the show?
Why do you think it's my favorite part of the show?
Oh, by the way, Sir X, I looked through my email while we've been doing the podcast, and it wasn't in that one either, so you've stumped me. I'm going to have to go find that. Because I know I'm not the only one at this table who laid eyes on it, so we're going to have to figure out where on earth we all read it. I'll find out. I'll get back to you.
Nuts. I know I read it.
But yeah. Okay, Sir X, we actually stopped and took a moment because it was very important that we knew where we got the information from. And it was in a press release. I guess it's called their fact sheet for this DCA expansion. And it's part of the official media resources that are given out. And the direct quote is, Cars Land increases capacity to the park with 2 additional immersive family rides featuring Luigi and Mater from the film. The Cars Land Drive-In Restaurant offers a unique signature dining experience. Guests dine in automobiles served by roller skating waitstaff while enjoying automobile-themed short films during their meal. So, like I say, that's part of what they call their fact sheet, and we're going to go ahead and put that up on Laughing Place at some point today. So it'll be up there so you'll be able to see the official media information that they gave us, because apparently we didn't end up posting it anywhere on the site. We just spoke about it in the podcast.
No, we posted the official press release, but that's a little bit different than the official press release.
Yeah, so we didn't notice the difference in the two until you brought up, where is that information?
That
so we'll make sure we put it up
there. That and the Mermaid Grotto are the 2 things that I see that are not in the press release.
Oh, okay.
The Mermaid Grotto area with Fountain and Sandcastle offer new play experiences for children. So that's weird, because it's not like the Mermaid Ride's a thrill ride and they need to have the little distraction like at Mission Space, but hey, whatever.
That's cool. So yeah, we'll go ahead and make sure we put that up there. Thanks for asking, because it got us to dig into the fact sheet versus press release comparison, which we probably wouldn't have done otherwise. But back to Doobie's favorite part of the show.
It's his favorite part of the show.
It's my favorite part of the show. So, as we requested, we got some popcorn or churros from our lovely and talented readership. So before we do ours today, we're going to do yours.
Well, can I read them?
For the new listener, should you?
If you're a new listener, listen to last week's show to see what this is. No, Rebecca, give us a quick shot of what this is.
Okay. One evening, Doobie and Fanboy were entertaining themselves because I had a headache and I didn't want to talk to them at dinner. And they sat through the whole meal asking each other just simply A or B. And you couldn't give a long explanation of why it was your choice, just answered with one word. And we tried to think of a name, and we came up with one based upon the longest debate I could think of on LaughingPlace.com, and that is popcorn or churros, unless you're D-Land Doug, and then it's turkey leg. So that's the name of it, and what we're going to do is go around the table, and we'll answer popcorn or churro. Regarding various topics. And the first one up today is from Magnet. And his question is, Fantasmic or Illuminations?
Fantasmic Florida or Fantasmic Disney World?
Well,
that's the same thing. Fantasmic Disney World or Fantasmic California?
Should we go around twice?
I say Fantasmic.
Yeah, just Fantasmic.
Okay. Amalgamation of Fantasmic.
Yeah, what we're going to go strictly Fantasmic. You don't get to differentiate.
75% of Fantasmic.
So, yeah, okay. So Doobie first.
Fantasmic.
Tough one. Fantasmic.
Fantasmic. Bar none.
Oh, man, that one's really tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
I know your answer
really tough.
Back in 2001.
Really, really. I still think Illuminations is the most perfect score.
I mean 1999, sorry.
Right.
No, I know what you mean. No, Illuminations is the most perfect score. That's why it is the score of the new Immigrant
movie.
It is so
good. They should use it in other things.
Oh, no, sorry, not immigrants. They're just foreign tourists. Yes. Yeah, the
well,
Welcome to
America.
Well,
could be immigrants. You don't know what they're doing.
Have a nice day.
Okay, and then the next
one is
from...
They could be Americans waiting to get their customs.
Is this from Pirate Princess?
What did you answer?
I said Illumination.
Okay, yes, Pirate Princess is the next one.
Okay, Pirate Princess. Her question, Tower of Terror or Malibuer? And we're going to stick with DCA. Since she lists two DCA attractions, we're going to go DCA, Tower of Terror, or DCA, Malibuer.
Okay. I love the... MGM Studios Malibuer much better, so.
Why don't you go first this time?
Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror, despite the fact I've never ridden it before in my life.
I will go with the one I've ridden, Tower of Terror.
I'm too scared to go on Malibuer, so I'm also going to have to say Tower
but
of Terror.
At least, like, Tower of Terror is a whole experience. I mean, I would not... If Malibuer had a huge, like, show scene and a queue line and everything, I probably would ride it. That's the reason I ride Tower of Terror. But Boomer's just...
But some people would prefer that over the... For some people, it's all about the thrill and not really about the show. But we're talking about it again.
Yeah, that was a really long sentence.
I know, but...
Yeah, stop whining. Next one.
Yes, we can't explain
from
things.
From Sir X. He has a lot of them. You ready for him?
I'm ready. Go first,
okay,
Captain.
Okay, the first one, I'm throwing it out to Captain John to start off. Pirates, the ride or the movie?
The ride.
The ride's a little shorter, so I'll go with the ride.
The ride.
And I'm also going to say the ride. Next question is Magic Kingdom, Toad, or Pooh?
Pooh.
Nice way to pop the P there, Doobie. What about you, Captain? Toad or Pooh?
Toad.
Toad.
No, Winnie the Pooh.
Yay!
I do like Pooh. I just like Toad better.
We all know you like Pooh, Mr. Fiber One Bar. Okay. Now,
they really keep you regular. Fiber One, available at a grocery store near you.
The next one is...
Did you have one of my Fiber Ones while we were gone the other day?
No.
No, because there's less in the box than he was expecting,
no.
So we blamed you.
Have you checked it? I'm glad there was less than one in the box and you went to the toilet.
Okay, next question before we get into some sort of home dispute here. Which castle? Disneyland Castle? I'm assuming...
Yes. Disneyland or Disney World.
Disneyland or Magic Kingdom.
I abbreviated. I expected to be reading these.
Oh, I'm sorry. Disneyland or Magic Kingdom. Which castle?
Why don't you go first this time?
I'm going to say Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom.
Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Happy break
despite,
to tie?
Despite the glorified archway comment earlier.
See, and for me, it's Cinderella was the first one I saw.
Sleeping Beauty was the first one.
Yeah, I think that's why.
To me, this is my one sentence, is because it's in all those movies, beginnings, you know, back when it was the blue and white one.
I understand what you mean. Yeah.
Pinocchio was the first one I saw, but they didn't build a castle for it. That was the first Disney movie I ever saw.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Mine was Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
I kept waiting for Maleficent to come out.
Imagine the poor kid. My first Disney movie was Pocahontas 2.
Home on the Range.
What's next?
Although, more likely they'll be able to say, oh, Johnny Tsunami, or High School Musical, or Cowbells.
Or the soon-to-come Hannah Montana.
3D!
The Wizards of Waverly Place.
Oh,
you think
dude,
Emily
Osment
is talking to them, but I'm really just talking to you.
Okay.
Didn't we do that last
week? Yeah, we did.
I think we do that every week.
I think that's part of our lexicon.
Sir XS Tech asks, Monorail... Or People Mover?
Which monorail? Like, this is strictly California.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a park affiliated with this, Mr. Doobie, who edited this down for me?
No, but I'm going to say the amalgamation that is the monorail and the amalgamation that is the People Mover TTA.
Oh, let's go around once with I'm going to override. Let's go once Disneyland Resort and once Walt Disney World. Okay, so you guys ready? First round, Disneyland Resort monorail or Disneyland's People Mover?
People Mover.
People Mover.
And now Walt Disney World. Monorail, People Mover.
Monorail.
Monorail.
People Mover.
Oh.
I've never been stuck on the People Mover.
I would have to say that. I would still have to say, well, I would have to agree. I just like the, there's something about the People Mover.
I got
like
stuck on the People Mover.
I like the People Mover. Right. Now here, wait, can I frame it one more way?
Sure.
As if, forgetting the difference in cost, I'm going to put it, so we're not speaking cost, purely experience, as a mass transit source, monorail or People Mover. So like if they were going to, let's say they decide, we're going to build this from Orlando to Walt Disney World, which would you rather be on, monorail or People Mover?
My sentence would be the monorail moves a lot faster and actually has sides. And well, it rains a lot in Florida.
Not the Walt Disney World monorail, the one in, I mean People Mover, the one in California.
It doesn't have sides either.
No, but it had a roof. It had a roof.
Rain doesn't care.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Monorail?
Monorail.
People Mover actually moves people efficiently.
Yeah, see, I'm more inclined towards a People Mover vehicle.
And do you have one of your own for this week?
Because it's continuous, yeah. Mine is based on the fact that there's been an announcement that on January 31st, 2008, several beloved Disney classics, this is what the press release says, beloved Disney classics are going back into the vault. Among these
are
Aladdin the Special Edition, Cinderella the Platinum Edition, as well as Aladdin 2 and 3, Cinderella 2, and Cinderella 3. Beloved Disney classics. So my question to you, given that Aladdin is returning to the vault, Iago or Zazu?
I sang Morning Report earlier, so I'm going with Zazu.
Okay.
Zazu, I think.
Zazu.
I am also Zazu.
He has a kind of fun name with a Z.
Yeah. It's just, but it's more fun to say Zazu.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool. I expect it to be spelled with an X all the time, but it's not.
Shazu?
No, Zazu. Za, like xylophone.
Zazu.
Xerox. Zoo.
Why don't you just spell it that way?
It would help in that game you play where you go character A, B, C. D.
That is a hard game.
When you get to Exodus.
Hey, we'll have to play that sometime for the podcast. That'd be kind of fun. You couldn't even think of what that started with an A,
no,
could you?
I,
oh, I'm sorry.
A boo.
Oh, very good. Okay. Go on.
Baloo.
Cheshire Cat. Dumbo. Eeyore.
Moving right along.
You're just reciting the parking lot section. Cheater.
Flower.
Okay, what's yours?
In honor of Catherine Beaumont, because I feel like honoring her today, Alice or Wendy?
Aww.
Wendy.
Alice.
Wendy, because she kicks some booty in Fantasmic.
Oh, yeah, she does, doesn't she? Just for all of those who aren't watching the video cast of this, the three of them are proceeding to do the choreography of Wendy as she is torn between two pirates in Fantasmic.
Peter!
Oh, dear.
Your turn, CJ.
You all make very lovely Wendys.
I've been working on my Wendy.
I can tell.
You know what you do better than Wendy, though? Alice.
Alice?
Yeah. I think you make a great Alice.
Do you?
Yeah. Especially when she drinks the potion, she becomes big.
What are you trying to say?
That you like to drink potions. At least you didn't turn into a llama.
Mr. Rabbit, and reside in fancy little houses.
Okay, we're moving on. Captain John, and please save us from this. Save us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, this is almost as bizarre as that film.
Touché.
Okay. When I was in California, I saw Turtle Talk with Crush, and it made me think of, you know, before there was Turtle Talk with Crush, you know, you were meeting characters such as Push, the talking trash can. So here's the question, between Push or the palm tree from Animal Kingdom? He has a name, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's Wes Palm.
Wes Palm, yes, that's what I thought it was. So if you're those between those.
Push or Wes?
Push or Wes?
I'm going to go, that's a tough one. That's probably the hardest one we've had so far. But
and the most meaningful.
I'm going to go with Push because he actually doubles as a trash can, so he has purpose.
Are you saying that West does not exchange oxygen for carbon dioxide for oxygen?
No, he has a condition.
Okay.
This is very, very difficult for me. Can I explain why it's difficult? I know we're not supposed to explain, but
as long as it's one long sentence.
I feel this urge to explain. Wes also has a holiday outfit, Christmas lights, whatever, you know, so he's seasonal. While Push has the amazing ability to be able to wheel up to the handicap You know how they have those little things on the doors where the handicap button? He wheels up to it, pushes the button, and then the doors open, and the trash can wheels in. The trash can is able to open the door. So they both have these unique skills and abilities that they bring into the discussion. Wow. You know what? I'm going to have to give the edge to Push. I'm going to choose Push.
I'm no surprised. I'm glad you didn't make me choose between Pippa, too.
Which one's Pippa?
Pippa's a recycle can at Animal Kingdom.
Much like you two.
Oh, you know what? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Pippa.
Oh, yeah. But
I think of it as a garbage can. I didn't realize that it was a different garbage can
than Push.
It's
Push's cousin, so it's fine.
I didn't realize that it had a new name. Shows how much I know.
Like you two, I realize the depth of this question requires more than a one-word answer.
Good.
I just saw Push the other day at the Magic Kingdom, and the interaction he has with the children is really a truly a magical thing, something that I'm sure Walt had on his mind as he designed Disney World on the ceiling of his hospital bed.
Makes children love garbage cans.
Exactly. So and the fact that he has a utility, and the fact that he's not only has a utility, but he's real. He is a garbage can. If he wasn't being utilized as Push, people would just walk by him all day without giving it a second thought. Wes, as cool as it is, you're not going to walk by and go, nothing? What the heck is that thing doing here? It does not look
natural.
You don't
see palm trees in the middle of the street?
Exactly. So for all of that and more, my vote firmly in the column of Push.
But the fact that he is called Push at all is because Walt Disney wanted the little flap things on the trash cans anyway.
He was a really forward-thinking man.
There's actually an interesting thing. The Disney World trash cans are no longer being made with Push on it because the grime gets in them. But except Push, because otherwise how would you know his name? And there's really no place to put a name tag on.
What about you, Captain?
I'd go with Push.
Okay. If I were a cast member, I don't know how thrilled I'd be at the concept that this garbage can is walking around with a name tag on.
You remember Stick from Disneyland?
No.
The Adventureland cast members had a Stick, and they had a little Stick name tag for him.
No way.
And they'd be like, hey, it's Stick. And you'd be like, hi, Stick. And I'm pretty sure Stick was, topped out at the top of the pay grade. He could... Yeah.
He had a spirit pen, didn't he?
I think so.
That's
and,
so
bizarre. He,
For Stick-tuitiveness.
But you know how a lot of Disney... it was weird, because after I'd be done at Disneyland, I'd go to Denny's, and there'd be all these cast members and Stick.
I know in Mouse Tales, he was in the back of getting a credit for helping out. David hung out at Acapulco a lot, and Kanan would talk to him, and he would tell him all the stories about, what the brooms were doing backstage and the dustbins and all that.
No, we'll have to ask.
Do you remember that story about the broom that got in trouble behind Small World? I'll read the book.
Oh, you two are very strange.
Do you have a popcorn or churro fanboy?
I do. Fairy Godmother or Blue Fairy?
Do I get to go first?
Yes.
I'm going to say the Fairy Godmother. She's so pleasant.
Fairy Godmother's got talent, but the Blue Fairy can lead a parade.
She can.
Blue Fairy.
Except everybody always thought she was Sleeping Beauty.
But that's their fault. The other cool thing about the Blue Fairy is that if you're leaving Pinocchio, you can turn back and see her.
Yeah, I learned that at a
still don't understand how it works,
party.
But I know I can turn back and see her.
Pepper's Ghost, Wikipedia.
Maybe when Greg Maletic comes to town, he can explain it to you.
I need to go on Mansion and Pinocchio, which isn't here, with Greg Maletic when he comes here, and he can explain Pepper's Ghost to me.
Well, the weirder thing is that I was talking to you about this the other day, and then you finally did come to the realization about how it worked, and now you've forgotten it again.
It doesn't take much.
Oh, Blue Fairy.
What about you?
Fairy Godmother, and cover your ears for any listener under the age of 12, because it's sort of like the retirement plan for all the princesses.
Aww, when that's cute.
They have something to do after they move on in years, they can be the Fairy Godmother.
I gotcha.
That's sweet.
Uncover your ears.
Are they also going to be Lady Tremaine?
She's kind of new. I haven't seen her. So, yeah, I guess so.
I thought he said she's kind of nude. I was like, excuse me? Since when?
No. Nothing further. Nothing further.
New. He said new.
Catch
I got it.
On poodles, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
And that closes a second edition of my favorite segment of the LP PODCAST.
Popcorn or churros. We're going to have Daniel create us a little jingle like he used to do for LP Radio.
That would be cool.
Popcorn or churro jingle.
So we got one more letter we're going to read from.
Oh, we need to do our reader mail song.
Go ahead.
It is our reader mail. It is not very long. No, wait, that's all right. Pick two. It's the reader mail song. It's not very long.
Take three, please.
No.
It's got to get better than that.
No.
It's our Read or Mail song. It is not very long.
So we got a Read or Mail. Yeah. So we got a Read or Mail I'm going to read now from
Chili Fries.
The best name I've seen yet
Chili
from an emailer. Chili Fries.
No, you didn't say it right.
Chili Fries.
Yeah, that's
with cheese on top.
Oh, yeah.
He writes, a question for the LP.
Oh,
no. What girl is going to call herself Chili Fries?
Why not? Do you like Chili Fries?
They like Chili Fries.
Chili Fries, please post to prove that I'm right, but for the sake of appeasing the masses here, he or she writes, a question for the LP Fab Four or anyone else who wishes to answer. So happy, feel free to chime in.
I think he wants to be the dog.
He's a newbie here, so apologize if this has been done to death. A, it hasn't been, and B, that's never stopped us before. If you were a cast member, which ride, attraction, or cart, etc. in Disneyland and in Disney World would you enjoy being on stage for the most, given a six-month stint, and why? He also says, thanks for spreading the magic and making this splendid site available. You're welcome. Let's start with you, Fanboy. An interesting question, I think. If you could work for the mouse on stage at a theme park, where would you like to work?
That's tough because there's so many different places that seem fun. And if you're limiting your – I mean, besides being president, you know, for a typical on-stage host-level role, I think it'd be cool to be a conductor.
Because on the train or the band?
No. I got no musical skill. So that might be funny, but – no, be a conductor on the Disneyland or Walt Disney World Railroad because I'm not – too savvy with like knobs and bells and things,
right,
so
that'd be
I
fun.
Engineer, but I probably couldn't handle. But being on the back of the train and okay. Making the little announcement,
can I hear you do it?
Abort!
Woohoo!
I feel safer already.
See, and you get to wear the hat.
That's the cool part. Cool. So we have a train conductor for Fanboy.
Choo choo.
What about you, Captain?
I think mine would be pretty obvious to figure out.
He doesn't even need a uniform.
No, I do not need a uniform.
They're called costumes.
I'm sorry. He wouldn't even need to go to costuming.
Yo ho, yo ho. Did I give you a clue yet?
It's time to get off the boat.
Very cool.
Okay.
How about you, Doobie?
I would like to, something similar to the captain, I would like to be a boat driver on the Seven Seas Lagoon, preferably the smaller boats, like the ones that transport you from the park to the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian. I think that's the smallest passenger boat they have because that one really sways a lot and it's just you and the people and the water and that seems like a lot of fun to me.
And the boat.
But what about driving a Jungle Cruise boat?
You see, they're on a rail, I've heard.
Wait. Shh.
They're on a rail, I've heard.
Best kept Disney secret.
No.
Third.
But I'm just saying, it's a boat.
But no, truly being a boat driver, if I will be that. If I ever am in a position to work for Disney and not have to do LP anymore, and I will be a boat driver at Walt Disney World.
You got time. You'll retire eventually.
Yeah, I hope to.
And Disney World will hopefully still be there.
I hope to, and I know if they are, they'll still need labor. So, Rebecca?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Well, I'm serious. I think about it every once in a while. When I was little, I can tell you what I wanted to be. When I used to, you know, be like, when I grow up, I wanted to be the person who had to wear the diving gear and clean the windows on the submarines each evening to make sure that the guests would be able to see out.
When you were little, you knew that job existed. That's impressive.
Okay.
I know most kids aren't being like, when I grow up, I would never even think about it. First, they're in water, so
they're
really
going to be clean. Well, I suspect there may have been something on the Disney Channel that showed people doing jobs at Disney overnight. So, you know. And I wanted to be, but before that, I wanted to be a mermaid. But you know, those weren't even around when I was little. I just saw pictures of them. But I don't know. That's hard, because I'm torn between. I love going to Disney and whatever, and I'm torn between like actually finding out more about what it's like to be there and work there, and like the concept of being backstage and seeing some of the magic not be quite so magic at the moment really creeps me out, to be honest. So I'm kind of torn on that. Part of me says something over at like you know. Something over at the Grand or over at a hotel where, while I'm still at Disney, I'm not part of that, you know, really magic part. to protect it and preserve it.
I know. The guy out in front of the yacht club goes, Top of the morning to you.
Oh, the grand gentleman was back.
Yeah.
He said good morning to me.
What's the stuff he gives out at Christmas?
The roasted chestnuts that you just pretty much spit out of your mouth as soon as you tried to.
Jimmy
was not fond of them.
We're all in luck, though, because if these are all our dreams, I was driving up the 4, and I saw a sign, Disney World is hiring.
Wait, no way, that's so rare.
I know.
It was cool, because a few weeks ago
it's not that rare. Stop acting like it's so rare.
A few weeks ago we drove by and it said Disney World Job Fair, and I'm like, they changed the sign. And then a couple days later, just back to Disney World is hiring.
I have a question. Have you gone on the 192 by the Wide World of Sports where the sign used to say 407-939 game all day?
It still does.
Really?
But instead of scrolling now, it just blinks.
Really? I'm glad they invested in a changing sign. Have you called that number?
Trey Wingo, right?
Trey Wingo. Yeah. I'd like to call him 3.
Hey, it's better than the Yankees phone number. Did you hear about that the other day when the sports guys called the Yankees to get some comment on something in the voicemail? They got a message, that we're not open. Please call back during business hours. And it was Joe Torre. Hello, this is Joe Torre. And you reached out.
You know what else?
I'm guessing it's already changed.
We are closed. We are closed. We are closed.
You do a really bad impersonation of the Yankee announcer.
I do a really bad impersonation of everyone I try to impersonate.
True.
Except for
that's
Evelyn.
True.
Mr. Eisner! Mr. Eisner!
That's dead on. Dead on. Well, unless I am mistaken, that almost brings to a close the October 26th edition of the Laughing Place podcast.
Aw, so soon.
Not quite yet, though, because before we sign off this week, we are going to go around the table and get a final word of wisdom or two from everyone here who has
words
wisdom
of wisdom
to give.
Wow. You're talking to, right?
Thanks for joining us and have a good night.
So for this week's wisdom, we're going to start with – this is tough. I really don't want to start with anybody, but let's go with Captain
John. Why don't you go first then?
No, I'm last.
Okay.
Well, see, for me, it's tough because, I've just been to California. I sort of already talked about that. But, nothing has happened besides that.
Nothing's happened since we talked to you a half hour ago?
We did a show.
Okay.
So, California is uber awesome.
Uber. That's I love that word. It's right up there with penultimate.
Exactly. It's uber awesome.
And is there anything better than penultimate?
Indecorous.
Like in terms of word?
Indecorous.
Indecorous?
Indecorous. Remember, we heard that today in the car.
That guy. He's in decorous.
One.
Singular sensation.
Okay.
The Holland Boys Choir's coming to Disney MGM Studios.
It's just so strange going from Florida to California because it's all small in California.
And drier.
And that's true, too. I came back. It's like, oh, humidity.
Isn't that weird? Because
yeah,
when we used to come
plane.
Here.
Yeah, we used to come we here. Used to come be here like, oh, no, I hate humidity.
You get off the plane and you'd be like, oh, who would live here? Now
it's
you
like,
come back from California, you're like, oh.
Oh, yes, finally, humidity. No. Oh. But it's just weird because, as a kid, you'd go on the Fantasyland rides. And now, when you're my age, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I could build this in my garage. It's really that small.
Whoa, that small?
And we saw how Michael Jackson ended up.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
It's just, wow. It's just everything.
He used to build models of Disneyland
in
his backyard.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what the heck. Fanboy?
Well, I am just excited because Meet the Robinsons is on Disney DVD and Disney Blu-ray disc for my Disney DVD and my Disney Blu-ray player. And
do you have a Blu-ray player? Or do you?
Oh, no, I have a Disney Blu-ray player.
Oh, a Disney Blu-ray player.
It only plays Disney Blu-rays.
Do they have people who think that, by the way?
Yeah, those people are really excited when Disney started doing electronics. They're like, finally, I've been wondering how I get these. When I was a kid, I would watch Mousercise, and they would all say, get out your Mousker mats. I'm like, where do I get a Mousker mat? All I have is a regular mat.
Oh, that really wasn't something that they sold?
I couldn't find out how to buy it if it was.
That's really funny. I never really thought about that. But I used to wonder the same thing. Oh, I wonder where I go to buy the Mousker mat. Oh, that's funny.
And I finally got a mat, and I'm like, well, I guess that's a Mousker mat. But Mouser Size was, 10 years off air because that was like when I was 18.
Right, yeah, totally. How weird.
Anyway.
Sorry, back to the story. That lady had really long legs. Kellen. She did. She was like a Barbie doll. It's like two, just the little top portion was torso and then leg. She had very long legs.
Same with Goofy, though. He was really good at that whole mouse exercise. For being Goofy, he exercises very well. But speaking of Goofy and Meet the Robinsons and all that stuff, I was watching Meet the Robinsons and I was thinking, hey, it's going to be about 16 months between Disney animated features because Meet the Robinsons came out in April of this year and Bolt's not coming out till November of next year. But don't worry, our friends at Disney Animation Studios have something for us. How to Set Up Your Home Theater starring Goofy, which should be coming out with Enchanted. And I'm excited. I think shorts are fun. And while I would never go out and buy the shorts collection unless some ones I have emotional attachment to growing up, I think it's a nice little imperatif between the commercials before the movie and the actual feature film. So I'm excited. You guys like shorts?
I prefer briefs, actually.
Really? Yeah.
Rebecca?
Those kind of movies are, that's one reason why I like Pixar movies, because they do that. Like, that just adds.
Do you remember, was it Rescuers Down Under, where it was like the double feature, where you had Prince and the Pauper and Rescuers Down Under?
This was brought up while I was in California for some reason. I don't remember why.
What?
Just very, what he was just saying.
Oh, the topic.
Somebody was
of
talking
shorts.
About that. It's like about Rescuers Down Under and how it's like, I don't remember how that was brought up. Comes back around, you know.
It's my favorite Disney movies: The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. Wait, I'm missing one. Oh yes, Rescuers Down Under.
Great Mouse Detective.
I guess it's my turn.
It would be your turn, sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Pork chops and apple sauce.
So the other day, during the news headlines, I came across an article. I think it was the Orlando Sentinel. Yeah, it was the Orlando Sentinel. And they were trying to make a story of the fact that this new Welcome to America video that the Disney company was involved in creating for our foreign travelers to the U.S., that the score for it is the Illuminations theme. And I believe if you read the article, we posted it on Laughing Place in the headlines. But three-quarters of the way down in the article, it makes the comment something like, and it has a quote from a SeaWorld rep, and it describes them as unperturbed. And over at SeaWorld, they're unperturbed. And I was just, the way that it was written, I was kind of like, I was surprised that they were trying to kind of make a thing of it, because it's not the first time that Illuminations has been used as the score for something that's not, you know, totally Disney. I remember it being used, while ABC is Disney owned, there isn't like the total direct magic correlation that there is with, you know, any of the Disney theme parks or whatever. And it was used in the Millennium Celebration footage that they had at the end of the year. They had this montage of all the various fireworks shows and moments that they had, that as they had followed the ringing in the new year all around the globe. And it was to this music, because it's a very triumphant and uplifting piece. And then you guys mentioned, when I brought this up to you guys mentioned you'd seen it used for something else too that wasn't, you know, Disney magic theme park stuff. What was it?
The 2000 presidential election.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, he said it was. Fanboy recalls it being used.
And it went on and on and on.
And so it's just, I thought it was kind of funny that now with this latest use, that, you know, it seemed like the Sentinel was trying to make some of them, and made no reference. I don't remember it making any reference to its previous. I guess it was kind of surprised me that they were unaware that this is not the first time this has happened. And nor were the Disney reps, I don't think. I don't even know that they answered it that way. I can't recall, to be honest. So just something crossed my mind, made me think, mostly because I think that's one of the more perfect pieces of music ever written. So I'm biased towards it.
It is awesome music.
Uber awesome.
Uber pentultimate awesome.
No.
No, it's uber awesome.
It's whomever. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the magic of pears because of the International Food and Wine Festival.
I found a lady who made a little bag for her husband that he can put his pears in, and they won't get squished going to work. And she, you know, fabric and batting and whatever, and the little drawstring, so that way he can throw that in his bag and it won't get damaged. Apparently, she doesn't have those little plastic cases like you guys had.
I'm trying to think who needs a hobby more, her or us that knows that. Her for doing it or us for caring.
So Rebecca tried to make me feel, I don't know, stupid, because I was very careful in eating my pear, careful to avoid the middle core section, careful to avoid the top and bottom. Whereas Rebecca indicated that am I characterizing this incorrectly?
No, you're doing fine.
Rebecca made it seem as if a pear should be eaten a little more
Aggressively. You can eat almost all of it. There's so very little left, anything.
We asked people in line with this, and everyone agreed with my method of eating, and so we posed it on the podcast, and happily, we got a few answers, and they all seemed to agree with me as well, with one exception. The very strange D.L. Theo, who wrote, "Although not typical for me, I have been known to eat the core and seeds of apples, and I've heard apple seeds are very healthy, containing some nutrients that are very rare. I haven't tried eating a pear core yet and can't say whether the seeds are simply nutritious or similarly nutritious, but then I eat about 2 pears a year, so not much opportunity, I guess." So
2 pears.
That's actually 4, isn't it? So, I mean, I guess in a sense this backs you up, except he eats apple cores, and you wouldn't even advocate that, would you?
I wouldn't eat an apple core. They're more tough.
Yeah.
I've eaten an apple core in the past.
So
we should get to answer this debate. Johnny Appleseed.
But he
the
looks
pretty good to him. Or the lard, either one of us.
But the thing that should strike me is he mentions he eats about 2 pears a year. Now, remember the guy tried to tell us the pear is the 3rd most popular fruit? I see stuff like this. I'm still not buying it. I just think
people don't eat fruit.
I think it's the last time I've eaten a pear. Yeah. Or at least I was aware. Like, I intentionally went out to get myself a pear.
Since you've eaten a pear, have you eaten an apple?
Yes.
Have you eaten a banana?
Yeah.
Have you eaten some sort of a melon?
Yeah.
That's not a fruit.
A melon? It's not a fruit?
It's a melon.
A melon is a type of fruit.
Yes.
Is he counting that in his stuff? That's all I'm saying.
How can you not count a melon as a fruit? It's not a vegetable.
No, you're right.
It's not a meat.
No, you're right.
It's not a dairy.
No, you're right.
It's not a dessert or a cheese.
Okay, I said you were right.
Yeah, because cheese isn't dairy.
Cheese is a food group on its own.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's dairy.
Cheese, meat, melon.
Okay, vegetarian boy.
So
just because you substitute cheese for meat doesn't make it a food group.
Legume and artificial sweetener. Those are the 6
now,
basic
but wait, when he's
no, it's
when
red cereal, rice and pasta group, vegetable group, fruit group, milk, yogurt, cheese group, meat, poultry, fish, dry beans, eggs, and nuts group, and the fat, oils, and sweets group.
Where'd you read that?
The Wikipedia.
Yeah, you put that in yourself.
You know, I'm not allowed to edit anymore because last week, remember, I edited something. My IP's been blocked.
Okay. That means my IP's been blocked.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that.
The thing with pear, though, when he said it was popular, was he basing that on taste tests, maybe? Maybe they did
tests. Best-selling.
Seriously? Yeah.
They didn't do the pear challenge.
It seems to be more popular among, you know, like fine dining and, you know, chefs. Like, when you turn on Food Network and you see, like, like, high-up people, you know, Iron Chefs or whatever, they're always using pears.
Apparently.
There's something about the pear is some sort of miracle fruit we just don't know about.
You know, the more you eat.
You know what I think they were doing? They doubled it because each one was a pear.
Oh, that's actually like the sixth favorite vegetable.
Because they said, how many do you eat? And someone said, like, 14 pears. And they wrote down 28. So.
Yes, that's embarrassing.
The great pear debacle.
And the other thing I wanted
to mention.
You know
what we should do?
What?
There's got to be an episode of Family Feud where they asked, what's your favorite fruit? And we need to see what the survey says.
Yellow fruit.
I wonder what Wikipedia says about pears and their popularity. I wonder if you'll check. So the other thing I wanted to mention was Magnet started a topic on the boards called the podcast lexicon. So I just wanted to encourage anyone who cares to contribute to that section. So far we've got a whole can of whipped cream, a 747.
A whole can.
A 747. And that's right, acid. And we also explained Elmer Fudd in there because no one would ever figure that one out. But
you know what else? It goes along with thrust of a 747, what? As in something that's in every Disney press release. The fact that you need to buy Disney property and start digging because
whenever they announce something new, it's always been there.
It's always been there.
This is Disneyland Resort.
But Disney World, too. Typhoon Lagoon was always there. Pleasure Island was always there.
Okay.
Tower of Terror was always there.
But Everest, they didn't try and pretend it was always there.
No, because they were too busy worrying about the 747.
Yeah. You know, anyway. So, contribute to the podcast lexicon. We have more than a few things we beat to death here, and it's fun to see them there and see people notice them and figure out what they mean.
Did you know that pears will ripen faster if placed next to bananas in a fruit bowl?
Nope. And with that...
Did you know pears are the least allergenic of all fruits? Along with lamb.
Wikipedia.
Wait a second here. I thought we I thought we determined meats was its own food group, not in the guess, fruit department.
I'm sorry, I needed to finish the sentence. Along with lamb and soya formula, pears are form part of the strictest exclusion diet for allergy sufferers.
That makes a whole lot more sense.
So be sure to tune in next week as we continue our pear saga.
And hopefully the Rockies will be world champions by then.
Woo-hoo. We are the champions.
Although I like Big Poppy.
Podcast at laughingplace.com.
866-718-9408.
You don't know either. 866-718-9408.
I said it. You just stop it.
Well, post a message in the laughingplace.com discussion boards. Don't forget this week's Captain Challenge. The question was?
What is Disneyland's current population?
And don't forget, we're keeping tally now, so try to be the winner. First 1 to 5 gets to be the winner. Until next week, don't be a zebra.